You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Thanks for being with us. We're going to hear another of the recordings of the candidate forums presented by the League of Women Voters and the Port Townsend Leader and a lot of local community organizations, including us, KPTZ. This was the conversation between the two candidates for Public Utility Commissioner of Jefferson County, number one, the seat held by Barney Burke, who's running for re-election, and his challenger is Jeff Randall, familiar voice in political matters here in Port Townsend. The host of the event is Fred Obey, and thanks to Sonny Flores, who was able to go out there and record it for us and edit it down and prepare it for air here on KPTZ. This is a League of Women Voters candidate forum, the Public Utility District of Jefferson County, seat number one, Barney Burke versus Jeff Randall.
This part of the program is dedicated to candidates for Jefferson County Public Utility District. And we have Jeff Randall and Barney Burke, the incumbent. This is a nonpartisan position, so no Democrat-Republican thing happening here. The ground rules remain the same for the candidates. We did give each of the last candidates 2 minutes to close up, so we'll do that again with this group as well. We'll get started, and Jeff, you decided to go first, so.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks to the organizers of this forum and to all of you Jefferson PUD owners here tonight. I've been a resident of Jefferson County for 19 years. I've been married for 14 years, and my wife, Shelley, and I have a 7-year-old boy. I'm a Washington State native, a licensed attorney, and a trained mediator. I had a 13-year career as a city and county land use planner, including management experience. And for the past 10 years, I've worked in the energy industry for a locally owned business, Powertrip Energy, as a certified solar designer. I'm also a recognized community builder. In the last 2 years, I volunteered to lead 2 successful bond campaigns that each resulted in over 70% voter approval for a community center and new elementary school. So why am I running for this office? Because right now, we have the opportunity to change the course of the PUD for the better. It's been over 6 years since our PUD agreed to purchase Puget Sound Energy's electrical assets. And I have attended many PUD meetings over these years and have witnessed our PUD commissioners' inability to make important decisions. And while the lights have stayed on, our PUD is losing money. Over the past 2 years, our PUD commissioners have adopted budgets with deficits totaling $4.2 million. Our PUD is failing at state audits, and it has had a revolving door on finance managers with 5 different individuals holding this key position over the past 3 years. Our PUD commissioners are responsible for this situation, and the unacceptable performance has occurred during the incumbent's time in office. If elected, my priorities are to get the PUD's financial house in order, adopt fair rates, especially for our public schools and our low-income citizens, and work collaboratively with Commissioners Ken Collins and Wayne King to make our PUD a success. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank the League, and I want to thank the AAUW and all of you for being here. And I would especially thank the Washington State Grange, which in 1930 put Initiative 1 on the ballot, and that's what created PUDs in Washington. During my 7 years with Jefferson PUD, we didn't just go electric, we went carbon-free. And our electricity is brought to you by people who live in Jefferson County, and at the moment, we're paying just a little bit less than what PSC is charging. More importantly, we've hired local high school graduates as apprentice linemen, as engineering interns, young people from Chimicum, from Quilsing, Port Townsend. We're local. Now, I want to make 3 points about our finances. No matter what you may have heard, we've always known what our cash position has been because the county is the PUD's treasurer. We had less than $2 million in cash when we started the electric utility. 3 years later, we had $12 million. Second, as many of you know, I urged that we replace our accounting system in 2012, but there was no support for that at the time. We finally did replace it in 2014, and that was instrumental in getting the 2015 books filed on time with the state auditor. Third, I want to thank the state auditor's staff for helping the PUD. They'll be presenting the 2013 and 14 audit to you on July 19th. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and that's the next step. Now, in the future, people are going to increasingly choose conservation and solar, and that affects revenues at every utility. That's why I've been talking about electric vehicles, about making heat pump rebates available to more customers, and the need to evolve our business model so we can save you money, reduce carbon, and strengthen our PUD. Finally, I want to note that I'm not soliciting or accepting campaign contributions because I think money is undermining our democracy. I have no conflicts of interest, and I represent no special interests. I work for you. Thank you.
So I have several questions here, but we'll also take some from the floor after this. First, just kind of a broad-ranging one. And it says, what is your vision for the future of Jefferson County PUD? So if you have any big plans, now would be the time to lay them out. Barney, you go first on this one.
Well, thank you. One of the things I was certainly working for this last year was to get the PUD to finally adopt a strategic plan. It did get adopted with two votes and a lot of watering down, but one thing I tried to get in there is to recognize that the world is changing, and we need to recognize as a utility that people are going to buy less power, and you can either sit there and just raise rates or charge more fees, or you can say, huh, what are the other ways that we can deal with this, one of which is electric vehicles. You charge a leaf. It's $2. You do that 5 days a week. That's $40 a month. That's really a help. You look around and you say, well, where's all the carbon in our county? It's like other parts of Washington. It's in transportation. It's in building heat. Well, you know, people that have a wood stove, for example, they're not currently eligible to get a rebate for a heat pump. Wow. The attorney says, you know, we could do that if we could make the business case for it. And think of the revenue coming in. The more you get revenue from other sources coming in, the more you can accommodate more solar and conservation, which affects the revenue side of the picture. I think that is really important. I think the other part of our PUD that we don't talk about enough is the water utility. And if you look at climate change issues, and I've worked on that quite a bit on the Climate Action Committee for the city and county and the recent workshop with the chamber, we need to make sure that, you know, we're prepared to do that. That's the other overriding thing that's facing our utility in the future. And I think it's very important to reflect that we work for the people of Jefferson County. Thank you very much.
So thanks for the question. Vision. My vision for the PUD first is that it's successful. And to have a successful PUD, the first thing we need to do is get it in a financially sound position. The fact of the matter is, if you're not completing audits, you don't know what your financial position is. And we need to get a qualified finance manager. That is something that needs to happen very soon. And we need to make sure that finance manager has adequate staff to do the job. Once the PUD is in a positive financial position, then we can do innovative things. The PUD is going to be looking at rates because, as I mentioned, the revenue is a problem. And the PUD is currently looking at a rate study, and I stand for adopting fair rates. I'm very concerned that the rates we have are fair. We inherited them from Puget Sound Energy. They were approved by the Utilities and Transportation Commission. And the big thing that we need to know is that our relationship to our utility has changed. So when we were with Puget Sound Energy, the UTC, the Utilities and Transportation Commission, oversaw rate changes. Now it's us. It's the PUD commissioners we elect, and the values they have are really important. So my values are promote energy conservation, adopt fair rates, make sure we are in a good financial position with our PUD so we can do innovative things like encourage renewable energy, encourage electric cars. And frankly, I'm not concerned that we're going to sell less energy in the future because I think electricity is the future. We're going to be getting off of fossil fuels. We're going to have more people coming here. We're going to have more businesses. And energy conservation is just smart because it keeps our costs down. Thank you.
Is there a question from the floor? And we'd like to people to use a microphone this time. Gary's got one right here. It helps especially with the recording for the radio and the TV. So,
thank you. So what have you done or what will you do to make it easier for low-income customers to make ends meet? Specifically, why can't you change due dates? If you're under the Washington Transportation and Utilities Commission, you would be mandated to do that to coincide with somebody's income when money comes in. But you don't do that now. You won't do that now, and that would be simple and wouldn't cost you any money.
Jeff.
So I'm not the incumbent, but I will answer that question. So thank you for asking about low-income customers because it is something I'm very concerned about. Something big happened when Puget Sound Energy's assets were sold to the PUD. Puget Sound Energy used to donate about $500,000 a year to help low-income customers. Now, when the PUD took over our utility, the PUD can't donate money like that, but the PUD can do some very specific things to help, like adopt low-income power rates. And despite a recommendation from the PUD's Citizen Advisory Board to do so, they haven't taken action. So this is something I would definitely support. Different utilities handle it different ways, but for example, we could lower low-income persons' utility rates by, say, 30% through that program. Other things that we can do to help low-income people specifically is to target the Bonneville Power Administration's energy rebates to low-income people. And that's been a problem the PUD has had to date. They haven't hired anyone to run the program. And last period, where Bonneville Power Administration offers about $450,000 a year to the PUD to offer to rebates to their customers, two-thirds of that money went to the Mill and the Navy. Now, hey, that's great, but they're not the people who really need it. So we need to staff up that program and target it to help low-income people. So those are the two biggest things I think we can do. And I think I would definitely look at billing systems, flexibility on due dates. That's something I would consider, see what we can do on that. That's what I would support. Thank you.
Barney.
Well, now that we finally have an adequate billing and accounting system, and we have a lot more things we can do with that, right from the very get-go when we took over, we instituted a low-income discount that immediately put us in cost lower than PSE. We later increased that discount to $20. And you recall, Jeff, in October of 14, I helped you with that recommendation that was presented to the board. And, of course, when you tried to present it, Commissioner King sitting over there tried to stop you from presenting that information. I thought you did a good report on it. I was glad to work with you on it. In addition to doing that, of course, we have the Power Boost program. We have the levelized payment program. And I had a solar customer contact me who's on Social Security and said, hey, I wasn't allowed to be in a levelized payment program. I said, well, no, I made the motion on that. And it said that any customer could qualify for the levelized payment program, no matter what their income or whether they were solar or not. And so we got that straightened out. We're doing a lot to save costs, too. Last September, we had a budget workshop, and I questioned why a $3 million capital item was included in there. And the superintendent said, well, gee, that item isn't necessary. It's a nice thing to have. We don't need it for next year. So I said, well, let's take that out. And then we had an increase in there of $194,000 with the BPA bill from what had been a few weeks before. No one had the answer on that immediately, but we did figure that out. And then just this January, there was a proposal from two of the board members that if the manager were to retire or quit tomorrow, he'd get a year of salary and benefits. And I said, no, that's just wrong on principle. Never mind that there's people that can't pay their bill. You just don't give somebody a year in salary of benefit, salary $120,000 if they walk out the door. So you really got to hang on to those dollars. And I certainly have been doing that. Thank you.
Is there another question out here on the floor someplace?
How do you assess the performance of Mr. Parker as general manager over the last 4 years? And do you believe that performance justifies his continued employment in that position?
Barney.
Well, I'll start with that, and let me just say it would be inappropriate for a board member to give you a specific review. I will tell you this. I had pushed that we have the manager on a formal contract, so there's criteria on how he's evaluated. And if you want to hear a recording of a dysfunctional board meeting, you ought to listen to the recording the afternoon of January 5, 2016, and then January 19th of 2016. When those items were discussed, we did get him on a contract, and I suggested that we have a quarterly meeting with the manager, which we've been doing. In last night's meeting, I suggested that we not have the next quarterly review of the manager until after the audit is released on 19 July. That would be the appropriate timing for that next review. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you for that question about the performance of the manager. So first of all, it's a small community. Jim Parker is known by a lot of people. He's lived here a lot of his life. He's a very nice man. I think a very honest person, and I think he works extremely hard. I spent about 4 hours meeting with Mr. Parker last week, and I've seen him in action in meetings for quite a while. So I personally like him. He's a very nice guy. Separately, a PUD commissioner's job is to oversee the performance of the organization. And the three PUD commissioners' conduit to that organization is the general manager. There is no one else to hold that general manager accountable. So in a strictly performance manner, if we look at the performance of this organization since it acquired PSE's assets, the agreement to acquire PSE's assets, it's had a very challenging time to grow from a $2 million annual budget to what it has today of a $35 million annual budget, 9 employees back in 2008 to 45 employees. So this is a dramatic growth, challenging situation for this organization. And the PUD has done some good things and it keeps the lights on. But it's made some pretty bad decisions. And I think that general manager needs to be accountable for that. And frankly, I don't think the board has been sufficient in its review and oversight of Mr. Parker. Some facts are Mr. Parker has announced that he will be retiring by 2018. So whomever is elected between myself and my opponent, that person will be selecting a new general manager. And I think who we select as a general manager is critical. And that person needs to reflect our values, needs to believe that the PUD should be used for the things that we think it needs to be used for to benefit our county. And that would be something I would take very seriously. Thank you.
I have a question here that was written and submitted. It says, explain why solar needs to be funded by the state. Buy at 54 cents and sell at 0.09 cents. How does that work? Who pays the bill?
That's right in my ballpark as a solar designer and work in the solar industry. I have to say that explaining the solar incentives is rather complicated, and I'm not going to go into details on that. I don't know who asked that question, but I'd be extremely happy to talk to you after the fact. I'm going to interpret the question in terms of, should we be doing renewable energy? Should we be promoting solar? And how is that paid for a little bit? Right now, we have more grid-tied solar customers in our county per person than any county in the state. The PUD pays nothing to those people. Those people paid for everything. They paid for their system. They paid for the meters. They paid for everything. Those systems are energy conservation measures. The PUD doesn't have to do anything to its power lines to accept energy back. Just account for it on the bill that they're going to prepare anyway. So solar power is an energy conservation method. We know energy conservation is good, and I believe we should continue doing it. The state does have some incentives that are out there. They're going to be expiring in a few years. I'm concerned that the state may not do anything to extend them. And solar power really is the only energy source we have in this county. And it's something that's increasing. Our customers want to do it. So why don't we encourage them to do it? And we could create, through our PUD, a green power program to create our own incentive program to really get renewable energy going here. So I'd be happy to talk to whoever asked the question more about that, but I support renewable energy. I think it's good for local jobs, it's good for the environment, and it's good for our energy future. So thank you.
Barney.
Well, I would certainly agree. I support not only solar, but other renewable energy. And I think we're out of touch with our customers if we're not pursuing that kind of thing. 3 November last year, I brought up on our board meeting that we could get a free financial pro forma on doing a community solar project. These have been extremely popular in other PUDs all over the state, even the more conservative counties. They've had to allot the shares in the solar system by lottery. So I said, well, why don't we have Energy Northwest, who offers this, to come out and give us a free pro forma, and then we could talk to our customers and see if there's any interest in it, because I think there would be a lot of interest. And the way community solar works, the people interested, they sign up and pay in advance. The other customers don't pay anything. Neither of the other commissioners was interested in having Energy Northwest come out and give us a free pro forma. I haven't given up on that idea. I still think it's a very popular thing, and I haven't given up on the legislature possibly extending those. But all the utilities around us, Clallam's done it, Mason, both Mason PUDs have done it. I think we should do it as well. And most of those incentives are things that the whole state has supported, and it doesn't have a big direct cost to the PUD. So I'd like to see more of that.
I happen to have a question here about Energy Northwest. It says it's a consortium of public power utilities, including PUDs. It's been reported that they endorse advanced small modular nuclear reactors. What is your opinion about that, Barney?
Well, I'm on the board of Energy Northwest representing our PUD and 27 other Bonneville customers. I'm the vice president of that board, and there's also a board of directors over that. Energy Northwest has an agreement with a company called NuScale, you can look that up, NuScale, out of Oregon, that is developing with a federal grant, about $200 million. They would develop it at the Idaho National Lab, what's called a small modular reactor, which is a passive design. the idea was that Energy Northwest, which has expertise in that area, could provide the operation of that, not here in Washington State, but over in Idaho, because, of course, Bonneville Power and Energy Northwest serve a number of utilities, not just in Washington, but throughout the Northwest. Plan would be that they would build it there, and that this is something that might be deployed elsewhere in the country to replace coal power. But Energy Northwest's role would be to help develop that prototype, which would be put in at the Idaho National Lab in Idaho.
Jeff.
So, nuclear power, what is my position on it? I think nuclear power is great just so long as the distance from my house to that nuclear power plant is the equivalent distance of my house to the sun. So I do not support nuclear power. I don't think it's ever going, they always say it's this close to being perfected, and it always will be. It never, it's just something I don't think we should be spending any more time on. And when we look at new sources of power, renewable energy, defined as wind, solar, micro hydro, things like that, are really becoming the dominant sources of new energy in the United States. In the last 2 years, wind and solar, for the first time, became the majority of new energy in the United States. And last year, it was over 60%. And the first quarter of this year, new energy in the United States, 90% was wind and solar. So we know it's the future, and one of the advantages it has is the fuel is free. And that keeps the cost low over time. And Germany has seen this too. So I see renewable energy as the future. It creates jobs. We can make it locally. It doesn't create renewable any waste. The stuff can be recycled. And frankly, it's disappointing in this country to see the utilities and the for-profit utilities that are fighting against it. And I don't want us to be one of those utilities. I want us to be a utility that doesn't fight change, it embraces change, and it takes advantage of the opportunities. Thank you.
Is there a question from the floor? Anybody anxious to speak up? George?
Now, I've attended some of the commission meetings, and they've been, in some instances, they've been pretty acrimonious. I think, Jeff, in your comment, you said that you can work well with the John Collins and Wayne King. I'd like to hear from both.
Ken.
What did I say?
John.
Sorry, John. Ken Collins. I knew he was there. What specific things can you do to resolve the acrimony that we've seen? Each one of you has some ideas for better collaboration.
Okay. Jeff.
Thanks for the question, George. The question is, what would I do to work as harmoniously as possible with the other two commissioners? On a three-commissioner board, the relationships are really important. And I know Mr. Collins well. I helped him get elected. I was on his campaign committee. I know the values he stands for. I think he and I can work very well together. Mr. King, who's in the audience tonight, thank you for coming, Wayne. I've known Wayne for a long time. And Wayne and I, if elected, would probably butt heads occasionally. But I think we respect each other's abilities. We respect each other's passions for this community. And we share a common belief that our number one priority is we want this PUD to be successful. So I think I have a lot of common ground with both PUD commissioners. And in terms of our vision, I think we all want this PUD to be successful. We want it to help the citizens of this county. We want it to help us economically. We want to help us to prepare for climate change. We want to help us prepare for disasters that could come. Fires, earthquakes, economic, whatever. We're kind of out here on our own lifeboat. And I look at the PUD as one of the things that will help us when those situations happen. So I very much look forward to the opportunity to work with the other two commissioners, and I think I can do so effectively.
Barney.
I think it's been very interesting to have audio recordings of our meetings. The very first recording was in January of 2015. That was the meeting where Commissioner King called one of Congressman Kilmer's employees a good-looking colored gal. So those things really concern me. Now, I didn't raise my voice at that meeting, but I said we will not use that kind of language at Jefferson PUD. I thought that was way out of line. A year goes by, January of this year, we're discussing the topic. I forget what it was. And, you know, my view is, hey, I always sit at meetings where people have different points of view. What does Wayne say? Do you want to take it outside? And I felt like, really? Is that your best... the best rationale you can give for your point of view that we ought to take it outside? I don't know what to tell you about that. You ought to listen to the meeting of March 16th this year. You were there at the schools. And frankly, it was really embarrassing to watch a commissioner bellow at school officials and interrupt them. How much power did you save? And it's not our job to tell you how much power you used. And when Wayne was finished saying those things, I spoke up and said, I think it is our job to tell you how much power you use. This is our resource manager, Bill Graham. He can help you. And then I met subsequent to that to try to repair some of that damage, meeting with David Engel to assure him I was interested in working with the schools and solving that problem. You yourself were the recipient of getting blowback from Wayne in that meeting on October 14th. Also that year, Roger Risley was beat up pretty bad. But I think a board mostly has to work as a group. And when we approved a press release that was going to go out a year ago about the PSE rate hike, we all approved it, didn't see it, the paper. I called Parker. I said, well, where's that press release? He said, well, Wayne called me, told me not to send it out. And I'm like, huh? The board approved it. There's a little dysfunction there as a board. Now, I'm committed to following our code of conduct, which Wayne proposed, and I think is a great idea. We treat each other with respect. We don't interrupt, so forth. All we got to do is treat people like you'd want to be treated. Thank you.
What are your sources of income, and do you have any financial conflicts of interest?
Well, I have my PUD salary, thank you. I'm a small-time landlord. I have three rental houses in Port Townsend. I get a pension from my career in economic development. I have an IRA, and I occasionally, if time was permitting, I work as a photographer. None of those things present a conflict with the PUD. Even so, I make sure to recuse myself on things that are of a personal interest. For example, I put a lot of money into the Port Townsend Library Capital Campaign back in, I think it was 2013, and there was an item on our agenda about signs for that campaign on power poles. And I recused myself from that. Even though I wasn't required to do so, I just thought it's important to keep an arm's length distance when you have something, even though you wouldn't gain personally. And I think that's very important. I don't have any conflict of interest, and I've always had my paperwork on file with the Public Disclosure Commission and have always filed that on a timely basis.
Jeff?
I don't have a conflict of interest either. My employment situation is I work for an electrical contracting company in Port Townsend called Power Trip Energy. It's a locally owned business. I am a salaried employee. I don't receive a bonus for my sales. Even though I'm a salesman, I'm a salaried employee. I work 4 days a week, about 32 hours a week right now on purpose because I take a day off to do things for our community. I have had a couple people bring this issue up to me, though, because they've said, well, geez, you're in the renewable energy industry. Can you serve on the PUD? Can you make decisions? Would you be disqualified from voting on things? So I said, okay, let me look it up. I'm a lawyer. Let me look up the laws. So Washington State has recognized that we elect a lot of officials. They have to do business all the time, and there are potential conflicts that people have. For example, we have two port commissioners who have had business trades in the port. We've had county commissioners and city council people who are realtors and have business dealings in land use planning and so forth. They can act in those roles as long as what the law says, you cannot have a financial interest that puts you in conflict with your fiduciary responsibility to the citizens of your county. I don't have a financial interest in Power Trip Energy, but if Power Trip Energy ever had a potential contract with the PUD, say, to install a community solar array, and the PUD was deciding who to award that installation contract to, I would disclose myself. I work for Power Trip. I don't think I should be voting on this. I would not participate in that discussion. And on the Power Trip side, I would not be participating in preparing a proposal to the PUD. Beyond that, I don't see any conflicts, and frankly, I see my background in renewable energy as a good thing. If we're going to have PUD commissioners voting on renewable energy and energy conservation, I think it'd be a very good thing to have somebody on the board who has personal and work experience on that. Thank you.
Question from the floor. Yeah, over here. Wait for the microphone to come to you.
My question is, does the PUD have financial difficulties at the present time?
That's interesting. So does the PUD have financial difficulties at this time? My answer is I wish we had better information about the PUD's financial situation. So the state law says that all public agencies, public governments, must prepare their books for audit every May of every year. When the PUD first was formed, some other citizens and I were very interested in the PUD's books, and we would go to the PUD and say, hey, when can we see some information on how you're doing? And we kept getting, oh, next month, next month, next month, we'll get the records together. and it wasn't happening. To date, the PUD has had an audit completed for years 2010 to 2012, which was the first 3 years that the PUD had acquired the PSE's assets. That audit came back with negative findings, so it didn't do so good, but it was able to get those books audited. Now, they're trying to get audited for 2013, 2014, 2015, and recently the PUD disclaimed its books for 2013, 2014, saying we can't put them in condition so they can be audited. And in my view, that's kind of like it's your final exam and you say to the teacher, gee, I can't do it. That's a failure in my mind, and it has real consequences for the PUD's ability to borrow money in the future. Normally, my understanding is, a public agency needs 5 years of clean books to get good financing rates, and the PUD can't show that now. So my priority, if elected, would be to clean up the finances, if at all possible, get them to where they pass their audits as soon as possible so we can obtain financing if we need it, if we have an emergency. And the money we have in the bank now, it's borrowed. This is borrowed money. Thank you.
Bernie.
Wow. Well, fact check first. The money we have in the bank, it's not borrowed. We've got $11 million cash right now. Let's correct that. We had $2 million when we started the power utility, $11 million now. As I mentioned, county treasurer is our treasurer. That much is known. Of course, I tried to convince the board and staff in 2012 that we needed a proper accounting system. No one supported that. We did finally do that in 14. That would have helped immensely when you have a system that works. It's interesting to watch the board, and I think we have a role in everything that you do. In the budget workshop last September, I think I was the only one that had really substantive questions. For example, I mentioned the $3 million project, which the superintendent confirmed wasn't really needed. Well, I'm thinking, well, we don't have enough revenue coming in. If that's not needed, we should delete that. How come the Bonneville power expense line item is $194,000 more than it was like 8 weeks before? No one had that answer, although it turned out later BPA had given us an incomplete estimate earlier. I also pointed out that, hey, there's no money in here for outreach. Let's put some money in for that, and that was done. I would say there's five steps in my mind for moving forward. The next step is the audit is being released on the 19th of July by the auditor. August 2nd, we're meeting with the manager to do a performance review, and we'll go from there. We're also recruiting a new finance director. That person will have to be good in all aspects of finance. They'll have to be a good staff leader. They'll have to be able to train staff so that they have the level of skill needed, and they will have to make sure that the procedures are in place and followed to have the finances operating correctly. There's two more steps. You know, one is the completion of the rate study, which is underway right now, to make sure where our rates are relative to our revenues and expenses. And then finally, what the long-term plan is. So you're not just looking in the rearview mirror, but you're looking ahead at what kind of utility you're trying to create and how does that affect your financial plan going forward. But again, we had $2 million when we started, a little bit less, $12 million 3 years later. At this week, I think we're at $11 million in cash. I think it's fair to say the entire board, I'll stop right there.
Here's an interesting question. Will you replace the walkie-talkies and cell phones with service radios in the PUD utility trucks?
I want to thank the person standing out there for the question. That has been raised, and it's been discussed with staff. And the recommendation at this point, the manager and the electrical superintendent, is that that's not a very common practice at that time, and they didn't endorse going to it. We are talking about some satellite radios that we used in the recent Cascadia satellite telephones, I should say. But as a commissioner, I sometimes recognize that my master's degree is not in electrical engineering or in operations of this sort, and I will defer to their judgment on that.
Jeff.
Thank you for that question about communications, and it has been talked about at a few of the PUD meetings that I've been in attendance at, and it appears to be that staff believes that cell phones can be the primary source of communication. That's my recollection of those conversations. The way I would look at it as a PUD commissioner is our PUD is one of the emergency response agencies in this county. So if we have a disaster, they need to be able to talk to the fire departments. They need to be able to talk to other utilities. They need to be able to talk to the sheriff's department in the city, etc. So I would be very interested in knowing what are those agencies using for communications. And I think if we look at natural disasters around the world, and in the United States we've had some, Katrina and Sandy and things like that, I think cell phones aren't bulletproof. I think we've seen where those grids go down, those cell phone networks get overloaded, and if you can't reach your utility linemen and those departments can't talk to one another, you could have a problem. So in law school, we had a theory called the belt and suspenders theory, that if one failed, you still got something else to hold your pants up. So radios are a very old, proven technology, and if they were affordable and they're being used by other agencies on this peninsula that are also in emergency management, I would be very interested in knowing more about that and potentially making sure that we have that ability also. Thank you.
Is there another question from the floor anywhere? Yes, right there.
My name is Gordon James, and I'm confused. I've watched the PUD from its beginning. It seems to have stumbled, bumbled through billing, number one, on into something else, number two. Tonight, I'm discouraged to hear about all the acrimony between board members. For Christ's sake, this is a public being. You don't display that sort of stuff here any more than you talk about the reputation of your manager. My question is, when are you going to become a board, a policy board, and stop being an action board that are getting their fingers in the way of everything else?
Okay, Jeff?
That is a very broad question. Very active. You got your blood up on that one. I liked it. I'm going to interpret that as I'm not happy with the PUD. When are you guys going to get your act together, and how can the board help with that? Let me back up a little bit. One of the issues we've got here is this, we've got two issues, rapid transformation of the PUD from a small water utility, and the same manager that we have today was the manager when it was a small water utility. He didn't really ask to become the manager of a $35 million electric utility, but that's what he got. And he took the job, so he's responsible for it. The PUD commissioners, in some way, didn't ask to have it be an electrical utility either, but they fell through the process, and now they have it. So we've got this thing, and we've got to run it properly. The board needs to be a policy board. I agree. They need to do planning. They need to be looking at the long-term interests of the PUD, making sure it's successful. But when you have people not doing their jobs, and we had a situation where the finance manager wasn't doing his job, and we've got questions of accountability with the general manager, I think if we can get the organization to have the right people, the right training, they're all doing their jobs, and the PUD commissioners are doing their jobs, which is at the 30,000 level foot of going ahead and making sure the organization is successful, it will work. But the PUD commissioners have a vital role in modifying this organization so it can do that and can go ahead in the future and be successful. So I look at this transformation, it's not complete. They're not really filling the shoes of this $35 million electric utility that they need to. And I just want to add to the comment I made last time when I said debt. This PUD is $110 million in debt. So thank you. Thank you,
Barney,
for the question.
As a person who spent a lot of time in his life working with budget and financial issues, we have $11 million in cash in the bank. Yes, we have a long-term debt, by the way, at about 2.8% over 28 years. PSC currently is trying to refinance about $250 million in debt at about 7%. But that is how you finance a building, a business like this. And the difference between a PUD and PSC is we're actually going to have equity. We're actually owning this. When you're a private customer of PSC, you never get ownership of it. You're a renter. We own this utility like buying a house. We've been paying it off now about $3 million a year. That has been a good way to finance it. But yes, we do have $11 million in cash in the bank. I'll tell you that with my own business about what is debt and what is, you know, cash available to work with. But yeah, we need to be a policy board. I really pushed for us to have a strategy because I think that was important once we got past some of the initial growing pains to get a real strategy. There wasn't unanimous enthusiasm on the board for that. I just wanted to see a basic strategy that outlined things like, you know, looking at asset management, looking at how you're going to deal with the changes in the utility business. What about communicating with your customers? What about revenues? What kind of, you know, things do you want to have incentives for in the future? I've been pushing lately that we review the capital improvement plan for the coming couple of years because that's the main thing that drives the rates, and we need a strategy on what we're doing on the infrastructure. We have an issue with replacing the meters that are failing, and we need a good strategy for that. Policy, certainly we've done it with, you know, low-income rates. We have more work to do on that. We got some good recommendations there, and we have we need to get past some of the acrimony, too, to get to those other issues. And we have people, you know, that have different views on that, I'll tell you that. So,
is the PUD doing enough to encourage ratepayers to switch to electric vehicles? Barney, what do you think about that?
I think we should do more, and I think here was a break from acrimony last night. As some of you know, I've been working my own time. I get a federal grant to help the Olympic National Park put in a fast charger for electric vehicles, which both help the park but facilitate tourism. I've also been working with the state of Washington on their program, the West Coast Electric Highway, to encourage electric vehicles. There's a session on that next week to get input on the new grant program they're about to start. And I asked our board last night, I said, I'm going there on my own time next week to give some input on that and try to encourage them. I asked the board, and the consensus was, yes, our board would support that idea of this new infrastructure program from the state paid for by electric vehicle owners that help put in fast chargers, because that's the big barrier to getting electric cars more widely convenient to the public. They can be a big revenue generator. I would like to see us do a partnership like we've tried to put together the city of Port Townsend, where we have a fast charger operated by a vendor. The utility, all we'd basically do is sell the power. We don't, you know, give that away. We sell the power, and then the customers know that they can live here and drive to Squim and back and know that they'll never be cut off. They will never be out of range. But it can be a very good thing for the utility, as I mentioned, from the standpoint of not losing too much of your revenue to solar and conservation. It's planning ahead, so as that builds up, you can hit that sweet spot of balancing your revenues.
Jeff?
I think there are great opportunities that we have with our PUD to promote more electric cars. And we can hear them out there whizzing by right now, probably 95% or more of the cars outside that are going by on the road, they're fossil fueled. They're gas fired. Do we make gasoline here? No. That's money that leaves the county every time we fill up our car. So why not promote using our own electricity to fuel our transportation? And technologically, the cars exist. I happen to get to drive one as part of my job. They're great. Once you drive an electric car, you're never going to want to go back. So in some ways, I don't think the PUD has to do a lot, because it's happening. This transition is happening. And it's been kind of disappointing for me, frankly, to watch all the dialogue about this grant for a fast charger. Power Trip Energy installed 7 Type 2 chargers, which are all you really need to get around the Olympic Peninsula. And we did it for free. We just did it. And to have the PUD talking so much about fast chargers and getting grants, hey, we're a PUD. We don't need grants for this stuff. We can do these things ourselves. So a fast charger really gets you from, a friend of mine drove from Port Townsend in a Leaf, which has a range of about 100 miles, the new ones, to Leavenworth. And the fast charger was critical to make that happen so she could get up there in a day really quickly. A fast charger here would just help someone get to the next town, you know, get to the other end of the peninsula. Once they're here, we want them to stay here. And, you know, Type 2 chargers is all they need. I don't want to help them to get to Grays Harbor super fast. But really, I didn't mean it that way. But it's all happening. And I think the PUD could do a lot to just with free promotion of electric cars. Thank you.
All right. Well, time for closing statements. By the toss of a coin, Barney's going to go first and Jeff last.
Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate the chance to be here, and I want to thank my campaign manager, Cindy Jane. I want to make one quick note related to the Type 2 chargers, which take much longer to charge. It's not the same thing, and those of us who have been working on this issue would tell you that's why we're trying to build fast chargers, because if you live in Port Townsend, you want to visit Squim, and you're thinking, gee, if I take a side trip, am I going to get back in time or not? You want to be able to park, charge for 15, 20 minutes, be fully charged, and come back. Now, I find when I'm out knocking on doors, which I've been doing, I find my supporters bridge the spectrum of Jefferson County from left to right, and I'm proud of that. People tell me they trust my judgment and they value my willingness to stand up for the public interest. A lot of you have said, Barney, you're not the guy that needs to be replaced. And last night, matter of fact, the other commissioner suggested it was inappropriate for me to invite people with concerns about our tree trimming practices to a PUD board meeting and offer suggestions on how we might do a better job of tree trimming and vegetation clearing, maybe even save a little money. It should have been referred to staff, one of the commissioners said. It's our right-of-way, as if the transmission lines belong to the utility itself and not to the people served by your public utility district, PUD. I think it's real clear. We work for the public. I'm not going to apologize for listening to the public because my description, my job description, can be summarized in four words: I work for you. Thank you very much.
I want to start by thanking all of you for coming here tonight. And for those of you who might listen to this recording on the radio later, we had a full house tonight. So I think democracy, local democracy, is in action and is alive and well in Jefferson County. I also want to thank Barney for his service on the board. It takes people with commitment to step up to the line and apply or get elected to these positions. So I want to thank him for his service. In November, you will select your next PUD commissioner. This position will not come up for vote again until 2022. The Utilities and Transportation Commission in Olympia no longer oversees our electric utility. It is now our responsibility. We are no longer just consumers of electricity. We are now also owners and regulators of our PUD. The next 6 years will be critical to the success or failure of our PUD. I am the right person for this job. I have fundamentally different skills and experiences that set me apart from my opponent. I also have a proven track record of getting things done and bringing the community together on important issues. Elect me, and I will provide the new energy and collaborative leadership our PUD so desperately needs so that we can realize the vision we voted for 8 years ago. I'm Jeff Randall, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
That concludes our program. Thanks to KPTZ and to PTTV, the League, the Leader, and AAUW. Good night, everyone.